It's an incredible blessing to be here with you at the Rich Mountain. It's the second time I've spent in Arkansas, and I guess everybody has to say something about Arkansas when they get up here. Brother David came back from McClenny, came back to McClenny several years ago, and spoke about this meeting here. And I wasn't sure he knew exactly what he was talking about, of course he always does, because I'm quite confident, heaven didn't exist west of the Mississippi, but apparently it does. And it's certainly been a blessing to be here. I want to open to John chapter 9, if you will, and read two verses here. We'll try to, Lord willing, make some comments on those. In John chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, we read these words. Then again, called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, I was blind. Now I see. That's a pretty good thing to know.
Amen.
That's a pretty good thing to know. There's a lot of things that these men, some of the dearest men in my life, some of the dearest men in your life, and some of the greatest people that we've had the opportunity to meet that have left things for us over the course of years. Blessed enough, have a very special Bible, and as we were reading about Mephibosheth here earlier this morning, the word "and" is underlined in two consecutive verses. And I know who underlined those verses, and I have no reason to know why he underlined that conjunction twice, and. But I'm going to presume that he knew something, that there was something special to him about the way those verses folded together, and he knew something that I don't know, and that's okay. That's okay, because I don't need to know everything. What I do need to know here today, and what I encourage you to know here today, as a born-again, believing child of God, that you know that you once were blind, but now you see. Amen. That you once were dead, but now you're alive. Amen. That you once were deaf, but now you hear. This is a man you don't know a whole lot about. This is a rather long narrative in the Word of God. It's a rather long narrative in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it starts out simply this. He and his disciples are walking through and they see a blind man. The disciples think they know something. They think they know something. And they ask Jesus Christ, Jesus, was it this man or was it his parents that sinned that caused him to be blind? Now you thought you've known that too. Why in the world am I in that position or in this position? Or why in the world is this happening, this person I love or even this person I hate? I bet I could tell you why. Yeah. My wife from time to time has said, Silas, you think you're always right? And they go, yeah, I do. I thought I was wrong. I probably wouldn't think that way. I've thought a lot of things that I know. And I'll share this quick story with you. About 30 years ago, I was going with a girl. Y'all remember what it was like to go with a girl? I was going with a girl. And it was a summertime. And she came to Arkansas. She was gone for 2 weeks. And she came home and she wasn't going with me no more. If you're a male between the ages of 40 or 50, I think I know why. You may be here today. Her name was Tara Roberts. Now her name is Tara Ford. So I don't know why she came to Arkansas or what the results. And I thought I knew why. She had met somebody else. I had the information that I needed, and that was she no longer wanted to go with Silas Ford. Now she's decided to marry me, and here we are in Arkansas. And if you're that guy, I'd love to speak with you after the service. But I thought I knew why, right? Let me tell you, Isaac thought he knew things too. But he had a weakness in this life that is the flesh that caused him to perceive things not as they were, but as he perceived them to be. You see, he was weak. He was weak by sin. He couldn't see. He was weak by manipulation, by the sensual nature of this life and the sensitivity of our flesh of mistaking things from time to time. And the reality is we all fall guilty to that, don't we? Our eyes see what we think they see. Our ears hear what we think we hear. And because we see it, because we hear it, because we taste it, because we touch it, because we smell it, our senses and our body tell us, this must be real, and I know what's going on. Reality is, our body is deceiving us quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's telling us not the things that we ought to know, but the things that we want to know. The things that our body wants to feel, and the things that our body and our mind and our natural heart tell us, this is good for you. But they're not. Here we see this man that is deprived of his sense. And one of the ways that we perceive reality, he can't see. He doesn't know what things look like. What is purple? What is orange? What is light? What is dark? What are these things? He doesn't know. And he doesn't maybe know why he's in that condition. He's been here all his life, and here he is blind. Jesus walks by him, and there the disciples are, presuming they know why he's blind.
Yeah.
They don't know.
No, they don't know.
Let me tell you who does. Jesus knows. And it's the same reason that he always knows. Because the works of God are going to be made manifest through and of him. You're going to learn something from this man. You, my disciples, are going to learn something here today. Not just the disciples would learn something. The Pharisees would learn something here. They would learn something about the person and who Jesus Christ was. Ultimately, the man that is at the central part of this narrative, this blind man, he would learn something too. And that was, I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he went. I don't know where he is. I know his name is Jesus. Well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. How heretical is that? This man, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. What I do know is I was blind, but now I see. Listen, we've been blessed to be able to learn and know a lot of things here today. And I'm glad that we can take looks at deep passages that we don't understand, and we can spend weeks and months praying and calling and encouraging one another to learn about these words so that we can know God better. Let me tell you, if you love God, you ought to want to know him better.
Amen.
You ought to want to know who he is. You ought to study theology. You ought to know who you are.
Yeah. Amen.
Paul knew something about himself. He says, I was blasphemous, I was injurious, I was a persecutor. Those are the things I was, but this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul knew something about his sin nature, but he knew something about Jesus Christ, and he desired to learn more and to teach more about who he was. And here we're learning about who this Jesus Christ is. He is one that walked this earth as a sinless man, and he looked down upon compassion upon this man that was blind, and he said, watch this. You ever said that? Watch this. Look what's about to happen here. This is something that this man would know, these disciples would know, and the Pharisees would know. And it's what Job knew in Job chapter 42, verse 2 there. He says, I know that God can do everything. I know that God can do everything. It's what Moses told Jethro about as he approached his home and he approaches his father-in-law. And he begins to recount the story of Egypt. And he begins to recount the story of all that God had led Israel through. And there they are, son-in-law and father-in-law. And he says, I know that this God is the greatest of all the gods. These are the things that we know. You can get to know. You may never understand. We know in part. We look through the glass darkly. You're never going to get to the end of the knowledge, but you can certainly start, and this is a pretty good place to do it. Here we have this recounting of this man who is going to know something. He's going to know something because the disciples thought that they knew something. He's going to know something because Jesus desires to show them something. Remember, he's already done that. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it in John chapter 6. He's already showed them something. They think they know something. Here, to Andrew and Philip, two of the earliest disciples. They think they know something. Jesus, these folks have got to go. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough food. This boy's got two fishes and five loaves. We've got 200. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough food. You got to send them home, Jesus says. Tell them to sit down. Tell them to sit down. Not only am I about to show you something, I'm going to show them something too. And what do they take up? One basket for each of them left. One going with each one of those disciples, I imagine. Here, take this with you and don't forget who I am. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Master. I am the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That is who I am. And today you're going to know that. Jesus Christ takes the same approach he does here as he does with Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. Don't you know, Jesus? He's sick. He's going to die. We got to go there. We've seen you do it before. You need to do it again. He's one of the best friends on this earth that you have. Jesus says, we'll just take our time going there. We're going to take it. Why? Why are we going to do these things? Because I've got something to show you, and you've got something to learn, so that today you might know, so that tomorrow you might know, so that when you feel like you've forgotten, when you feel like you don't know, when you feel like there ain't enough that you can do, you can look back on this moment, whether it's your life or whether it's the words of Holy Scripture, and you can say, I know.
Amen.
I know who he is.
Yeah.
I know he's the Son of God. I know he's the Son of Man. I know he is who he says he is.
Yeah.
So he approaches this man, and it's just so subtle, isn't it? Man, he could have made a big show about this, and most of us probably would. You would, certainly.
He knows me.
He just spits in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a little mud. And he puts it on his eyes and he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that's it. But Mike, if this goes bad, I told you, it's your fault. He asked me last night, what do you got on your mind? I said, well, this, this, or this. And he said, well, how about that one? So, blame him afterwards. I know. I once was blind, but now I see. That's the thing that I know. This man can see. And listen, we take these stories, we take these narratives all the time, especially the ones that we've heard a lot. Listen, your pastor gets up in the stand on Sunday morning and he says, today I want to talk about Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And a lot of y'all just go, well, I've heard that one before. You know, and you follow along because it's good, you know, but we want to hear something. We want to know something new, right? We want to learn, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Let me tell you, that story is just as good as it was the day that God recounted it to Moses. Let me tell you who I am. I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. I want you to know the first thing about me is all of this is because I said, let there be light. Because I desired to create. I desired to glorify myself and show who I am to myself by creating the universe and all of the good that is in it. And you done gone and messed it up. That's what you know. That's what you know. In the beginning, God, we just move on. These stories that we know so well, Jesus brought sight to the blind. You know it well. You've heard it recounted 1,000 times. Young kids in here, maybe this is the first time you're hearing it. Let me tell you, it's as simple as this. Jesus wanted to make the blind see, and he did.
Yeah.
And he could do that because he gave sight to begin with.
Yeah.
And he's going to give a sight that is better than even the earthly sight. He's going to give you spiritual insight.
Yeah.
He's going to give you the ability by the Holy Spirit to look at the things of God and say, I know. I can't tell you everything about him. I don't know where he is. I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he's going. What I do know is yesterday I couldn't see and today I can.
Yes.
Yesterday I couldn't hear and today I can. It's because he's given you the ability.
Right.
Supernatural. I ain't afraid to use that word. It's a supernatural ability to hear God's word.
That's right.
I'm thankful for that here today. I'm thankful that we can know that through that by sin, the earth and all that is in it, it groans and travails, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. We're going to get there. Somebody's got to get there. Might as well be me. Romans chapter 8. Paul is going to use this term in Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Listen, this is a term that I love. For I reckon. For I reckon. What an incredible word. For I reckon. I reckon. I reckon. I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me tell you. What he knew, something better is coming. What I hope that you know here today is that something better is coming. Listen, some of y'all are living your best life right now. Man, y'all got some nice houses and some nice cars and some air conditioning. You're healthy and you have families and people are getting married and you got babies. And let me tell you, things are fantastic and I hope they get better for you. But it's going to be better somewhere else.
Yeah.
Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And he reckoned, or he added it up.
Right.
Listen, simple math. Simple math. 1 + 1 = 2. I don't care what modern math tries to tell you. 1 + 1 = 2. And it always will. He adds it up. What does he add up? The things that he knows. We know that creation groans and it travails until this day. That creation has a problem, and that problem is sin. And it impacts and infects every part of the universe.
Yeah.
It impacts and affects every part of our life. It causes us to think that we know things that we don't, and to not know things that we ought to know. And here we see, he says, I know. We know it. You know it here today. Your life may be the greatest life in this room. It may be the greatest life in Arkansas, but you know. You know that you hurt. You know that you've lost folks. You know that you've lost loved ones. You know you've been brought to your knees because you just can't do enough. You know it. And you look around and you see it. You see it in society. And you see it in culture. You see it in the movies. You see it on the news. You see it on the phones. You see it through the text at 3 o'clock in the morning that says, I've lost someone that I love. You know it. Paul knew it. But he knew something else. He knew something else. He knows the rest of Romans chapter 8.
That's right.
He knows the work of God. And he says, whatever the problem is, there's a solution for that. The solution for that was Jesus Christ. The solution for that was a man hanging on a cross and an empty grave 3 days later.
Yeah, amen.
The solution for that was breathing life into a dead alien sinner. And he knew, because he was that dead alien sinner. He was the one on the road to Damascus. Amen. That could see and all of a sudden couldn't.
Yeah.
Thought he could see things, right? He could see and all of a sudden he couldn't. Couldn't see anymore. Couldn't see that law anymore for the way he had seen it all his life.
Amen. Yeah.
He couldn't see that old mountain that the law had been given on, that had been touched with fire. Couldn't see that anymore. He doesn't want to go back there. The writer of Hebrews didn't want to go back there in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, there's two mountains you can go to. You can go to the mountain of that old law, or you can go to the mountain that is Zion.
Yeah.
You can go to the mountain where grace reigns supreme.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the mountain I want to go to today. I believe that's the mountain that we've been at here this weekend.
Yeah.
That we can know about the grace of God. We can know about who we are. And Paul knew about those things. That's exactly why he says this. And I love the simple statements, right? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Listen, you don't have to work hard, very hard to memorize this verse. You don't have to work very hard to do that. Brother Finley, I envy your ability to memorize Scripture. And so many folks in my life have that. I just don't have that. What I do know is that this is easy. You don't have to work very hard. I know this one. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Christ came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Every one of us can say that here today. We're standing in line looking at ourselves and who we are. And when you say you line up all the sinners in the world, I might as well be first. Because you know you. I don't know you. You're a great people, but you know you. You know the sin that you have in private. You know the sin that you have in heart. You know the sin that you have in your mind. But you know Jesus Christ came to die and save you. And see, that's the beauty of this game-changing moment. This is a game changer, Brother Mike. This is a game changer. It's a game changer for the disciples. Because listen, they look at him and they go, he really is who he said he was. We know further now. Listen, the Pharisees think they know who he is. They bring the parents in, right? The parents come into the story. He was blind. What was it? He was blind. How did he get blind? He was there. He's just that way. You know, are you sure? Yeah, we're sure. They bring the man back in. Where'd he go? I don't know. What, you know, what's his name? His name is Jesus. I don't know a lot of things. But they think they know. What do they think? They think this man is a sinner. Listen, and what does this man end up doing? He ends up preaching to the religionists, right?
Yeah, right.
He ends up telling them who this man Jesus is, but he didn't know who Jesus is.
Amen. It's a wonderful thing.
What he knows is I was blind and now I see. Let me tell you, some of y'all don't know a lick of Scripture, but you know you're blind and now you see. You know that you live and you move and you have being. And that living and moving and have being is different than it was before.
Yeah.
And that before it was just physical. Before it was just what it was. It was for itself. But now you live in a different way.
Yeah.
Now you move in a different way. Now you see in a different way. Things aren't as dark as they used to be. There's a little hope in your life. And that hope is the light of men. That hope is there for you because you know something today that you didn't know yesterday. They thought that he knew. They thought that, who is he? They call him a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's, I just know his name. That's as far as this has been. Let me tell you, that's okay. That's okay. Listen, there's a lot of folks that come along and they just started questioning, well, do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? What's your opinion on infralapsarianism? And start throwing big words at this guy. And he goes, look, I don't know. Listen, maybe you here today, you don't know. But this makes sense to you. This makes sense to you. And it doesn't make sense because of the eloquence of speech. It makes sense because there's a spirit inside you that says, hey,
amen.
This is the truth.
Amen.
This is what it is.
Amen.
You're a sinner. You're saved by grace. And what follows is this order of operations. You know, I don't know why, but I loved algebra.
I don't know why either.
I think algebra 3 is an elective in high school, and it was like, I don't know. Could have had a study hall. The order of operations. Brother Randy mentioned that earlier. Order, where are you at, Brother Randy? Order of operations, right?
He's over there.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. You know, PEMDAS, if you will. Yeah, you gotta do the parentheses first, right? You gotta add, then you gotta do what's next? The exponents, and then multiply. And you don't do them in the right. Yeah, every once in a while, there'll be a simple problem on Facebook. You scroll on, you go, I know the answer to that, and you read it, and you feel dumb because you didn't know the answer. Because you didn't do the order of operations. Here's the order of operations. Jesus came and applied a word to this man.
Yeah.
And then he comes to him later on and he says, hey,
yeah.
Tell me what's going on. He says, I was blind, but now I see. Well, who is this man? I don't know. I heard his voice. I heard his voice. He says, who is this man? Who is this man? The blind man says. He's the one that speaks to you.
Yeah.
And he's the one that you see.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you see Jesus today?
Yeah.
See Jesus in your life? You see the work that he's performed in your life? Can you say this morning what John Newton said? I was lost, but I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We sing Amazing Grace over and over and over again. But let me tell you, it ain't John Newton's song. It's every child of grace's song. It's every one of you here today that see Jesus Christ for who he said he was and who he in fact is.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, one day you're going to see. One day all of creation is going to see.
Yeah.
He's going to come back and there's not going to be any questions about who he is.
Right.
He's going to come back when the king shall come in all of his glory.
Right.
He's not leaving any part of it behind.
Yeah.
And everyone will know.
Yeah.
From the sinner to the saint.
Yeah.
You're going to know if you don't know today. And you're going to know for all eternity.
Amen.
I pray that if you know here today that your response is the same response as this blind man. I know now, and because of that, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe here today. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on a Roman cross. I believe he came out of the grave 3 days later. And I believe he sits and rules and reigns. Don't let anybody try to tell you otherwise.
Amen.
And I know here today, because of all of that, I can add it up too. Doesn't take a deep view of theology to understand this. That because of what he has done, because of Jesus Christ, because of who I understand myself to be, because of all of this, I can know and I can have a hope. And I can reckon too. And I can reckon too that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And for you, that's the hope. For me, that's the hope. Now you may get as far as knowing that. Still in my life, I have to add it up too. You know, I got to throw a little variables in there just to make it a little interesting sometimes. The reality is, this man, the process was there, the order was there, and if nothing else, the work of God was manifest through him. And it was such an incredible work. 2,000 years later, here we are still talking about it.
Amen.
Here we are still seeing it. Isn't that incredible? Lord bless you, our prayer.
Amen. Amen.